So you filmed a lot of this in Alabama.
We did, yeah. I tried to film the movie in Arkansas, but the state, we were doing prep in Arkansas, location scouting on the ground there even, and the state called and told us they couldn't give us the tax credit they had promised us before, so we had to up and move to Alabama. But it worked out great and had a great time down there. Loved the people, we were in and around Mobile Bay. We were kind of mostly on the other side of the bay, in like Fairhope and Daphne, but beautiful part of the country.
So you're from Arkansas, though.
Yeah, I'm from Arkansas, yes.
So this is kind of doing this around your home state, sort of.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Alabama had a very similar vibe, you know, that whole part of the South has got a similar kind of feel to it. But Fairhope and Daphne and Mobile down there on the water, so that was nice.
Yeah. I really loved the movie. I found it highly entertaining, and I loved how you did it.
Thank you.
So where'd you come up with the idea?
It was a couple things. I mean, I'm from Arkansas, like where specifically from Hot Springs, where a bunch of the movie takes place. And my grandfather was this tertiary Dixie Mafia character back in the day. And I'd always wanted to write something in that world and in that place. So I read this book called Arkansas by John Brandon that came out about a decade ago, and bought the rights to it and adapted that into the movie because I just love the book. I love the dialogue, and it just thematically hit on everything I wanted to do.
So how close are you to the book? Because, you know, there's the movie there's the book you read and you put it in your head and then you shoot it and edit it. And then sometimes it's not the same.
Yeah. You kind of make the movie three times. That's true. Like there's the script, there's the shooting, and then there's the editing. We're pretty close to the book, though. I mean, if people read the book, it's you know, there's structural changes you had to make because, like, in the book, the reader doesn't find out who Frog is until Kyle does at the very end, and you know, in the movie, you find out pretty early on. But that's kind of fun too because it puts the audience in front of the character. You know, the audience knows more than the character, and that so then you're watching this guy dig himself in a hole. And the ending of the book was different. I tweaked the ending a little bit, which I won't spoil in case anybody hasn't seen the movie, but I tweaked the ending a little bit.
It's one of my favorite kinds of genres. I have a couple that I really like end of the world movies, which we're kind of at the end of the world, seems like now.
Yeah.
In fact, I just did a column on my favorite end of the world movies, going clear back to the 50s. I grew up in the 50s and grew up with movies like that. And but anyway,
Omega Man.
The other one is this kind of movie. It's just it's dark, but it's funny. I mean, there was a lot of humor.
Yeah, I mean, that's the stuff that I love. You know, is something like Sopranos, where you can have horrifying violence and then the funniest dialogue you've ever heard right after, because that's kind of what real life is like.
Did you relate to this character? How much of you is like this person?
I did relate to, I mean, personality wise, I'm much more type A and controlled and cautious than the character is, but you know, you can't help but put personal touches into it. It's all you on some level, I guess.
So when you read the book, did you see yourself playing the—
I did, yeah. I wrote the part for myself. It was my favorite character in the book. And I always had it in mind for myself. Yeah.
So where are you now? Are you where do you live?
I'm in LA, live in LA. Been here, you know, locked down with everybody else for the past few weeks.
Yeah. Kind of sucks, doesn't it?
It's not ideal. You know, it's, we were supposed to premiere the movie at South by Southwest and that got canceled. And then we were supposed to be in theaters and, you know, they've closed all the theaters. So it's been, It's been a bittersweet release for sure. I'm glad the movie's out and I'm glad people are liking it. Like, I woke up today to my paper in the yard, the LA Times gave us a nice review. So yeah, it's kind of bittersweet, I guess. But people are digging the movie. It seems like it's doing well on Apple and Amazon and all the places you can buy it. So Yeah, I'm just this week has been every emotion. It was also my birthday Tuesday, so I've kind of thank you. I've kind of just ran through every possible emotion the last 48 hours or so.
You know, I find it unfortunate too that you got stuck in this too, because I think this is a kind of film that it gets a buzz and people are, hey, you got to see this, it's fun. So what was it like to work with Vince Vaughn?
It was great. I mean, the whole cast is so good. It really makes your job as a director easier. You know, I thought part of the fun of the character for Frog was that Vince was playing it, because you're just really not, you know, you're used to seeing him in these comedies and kind of you have an expectation from Vince Vaughn. So I think that's why he's so electric in the part is, you know, he makes the character really likable and really charming and really funny, because he is all those things himself, and you can't help it. Like he's just charismatic and
very charismatic.
Yeah. That comes across, even if he's doing and saying things that are, you know, with somebody else playing him, he'd be a villain.
Yeah.
But with Vince playing him, it's way more interesting than that. So that was great. I mean, Malkovich was a dream too. Just,
oh yeah,
as good as it gets. And I think this is Liam's best performance. I mean, I just don't think he's got a lot of opportunities to play something like this. So I'm excited for people to see how great he is in the movie too. But everybody, Vivica Fox is maybe my favorite scenes in the movie. Eden Brolin, Michael Kenneth Williams, my brother Chandler, I think is fantastic in the movie. It's a cast this good makes your life as a director a lot easier.
So what was it like to work on The Office? Yeah, I mean, you were on there for a while. What was that like?
It was fun. I only did the last season of the show. It's weird because now the show is such a phenomenon on Netflix. It feels like a much bigger deal now than it did when I was actually on the show. But I love the show. I was a fan beforehand. The British Office, I was a very big fan of and was a big influence on me. With the first thing I wrote and directed and starred in called Clark and Michael, this web series with me and Michael Cera. So it felt very full circle for me to get on The Office, because it had been the British Office had been such a huge influence on me as a writer and an actor and filmmaker.
Who influenced you?
Just in general?
Yeah, in general.
Robert Altman, I mean, specifically for this movie, his movie Thieves Like Us, Once Upon a Time in the West by Sergio Leone is one of my favorites.
One of my favorites.
Jackie Brown, Out of Sight, the Elmore Leonard book and the Soderbergh movie both. The Long Goodbye by Altman is another one of my favorite movies, but especially favorite crime movies. Scorsese, Tarantino, you know, kind of those mid-90s Miramax guys are what I grew up on. And then from there, you get into the guys that they were influenced by, like your Brian De Palmas and Peter Bogdanovich, I love a lot. Scorsese, Coppola, all the classic 70s American guys.
My favorite people to interview are directors and writers.
Yeah.
Actors, you know, you guys are okay. But directors and writers are unique. I mean, you have a unique perspective on the world that an actors do too, but writers and directors are just more fun to talk to.
I kind of agree with that. Yeah.
But the directors you mentioned, and some of them do their own writing, you know, some of my favorites.
Paul Thomas Anderson, also somebody that writes and directs, a huge influence on.
So what's next for you? I mean, I think this was a really good start for a writing, directing career. Thank you.
That's my hope, is it is just the start. You know, I think it's the first movie. I don't think it's, you know, my last movie or best movie. This is what I want the rest of my career to be. So, I got two or three scripts ready to go. Me and my brother have got another one in the last, you know, few weeks locked up here in the house in LA during the quarantine. So I'm ready to go whenever they start production up again. But that's the plan. Just keep directing.
Keep writing.
Yep.
Can you hint? Tell me what, like, is comedy, drama? Was kind of a comedy drama.
Yeah, I mean, this one's a hard one to pin down genre-wise. Like, you know, people, I always thought of this movie as a Western. The studio called it a thriller, which I thought was interesting. And then a lot of the reviews, people call it a comedy. So, that's been really, really interesting for me just to see how, because I thought I was making, like, my homage to Once Upon a Time in the West the whole time.
Really?
Yeah, like, with the score and the way we shot it and everything. So it's really interesting to me. That, you know, the biggest one I keep seeing is everybody keeps saying, like, oh, I'm just, like, it's, like, my homage to the Coen brothers. And while I certainly do like the Coen brothers, if I'm being honest, they're not like, the biggest thing in the back of my mind. I love Fargo. I love No Country for Old Men. I even love, like, Blood Simple, their first movie. Like, I mean, they've never really made a bad movie. But stylistically, I think stylistically, I feel like I've stolen the most from Robert Altman.
You know, what's interesting is you mentioned all these genres and these directors, and your movie is exactly each one of those. You know, which is really interesting, because it is Once Upon a Time in the West, and it is a kind of a Coen Brothers movie, and it's kind of quite Tarantino-ish.
Yeah,
It's just a really interesting mix of style.
I keep a lot of the reviews and the stuff I've read have said that it feels like a movie from the 90s, and that's really interesting to me, because it's like, you know, that's not like a conscious thing on my part, but those are the filmmakers that I grew up on.
You know, it's really interesting, because you're correct. The 80s and 90s, and even the late 60s, the style of movies really changed. The first time I noticed it was Midnight Cowboy. Sure. Midnight Cowboy is, like, maybe my very favorite. If I had to pick a really very favorite movie, it might be that one.
That's really good.
That was a radical change from filmmaking. This guy was really good. Never did anything close to that good since. But movies like that just turned me on. And that's where I really liked yours, just the way it was done. See, I wouldn't call it a thriller, but I wouldn't call it a comedy. I'm not sure.
I have a hard time. I mean, you know, for me, like, tonally, I almost thought it was closer to, like, a George Roy Hill movie.
Yeah.
Like to me, like, I think the best tone I've ever seen is, like, Slapshot. You know, because you don't know, like, that movie, what is that? Is it a romantic comedy? Is it a drama? Is it a, and I mean, all his movies are like that.
Yeah.
That's such an interesting tone. Yeah, he's a favorite of mine too, actually.
So who would you like to work with next?
I mean, as an actor or director? I mean, as an actor, director. I mean, I'd really just like to focus on the directing. So, I mean, gosh, as far as actors go, everybody, you know, there's a whole huge list of people. I've only got to direct these people in this one movie so far. So, everyone.
So you could be like Scorsese and just use the same people in every movie.
Well, I was thinking about that too. We'll see.
and you know, it works for him.
It's nice and easy to build familiarity and comfort with just kind of the same people over and over. So I could certainly see doing that. I would love to make every movie with Liam. We've become friends since, and he's just a really lovely guy.
You've mentioned Once Upon a Time in the West several times. Would that be your favorite movie?
It's up there. I think it's definitely in my top five. I think my all-time favorite movie is Casino, to be honest.
Wow.
I really love Casino.
Yeah, I liked it too. I didn't love it. I tell you, I really loved The Irishman. Yeah.
I need to watch it again. I've only watched it the one time, and I don't feel like I've thought about it enough to have, because, like, I watched it over the holidays, you know, with my family. It was on the TV, and we stopped 100 times, and I feel like I gotta like revisit it. Because, man, it was long.
It was long, yeah. So you're going to love this one. So they screened it for critics at 10 o'clock on a Friday morning. Drink a pot of coffee when I get up. So there's no way I'm making it through a 3.5-hour movie.
No, that's so three or four bathroom beds.
At least you got to pause it, you know.
Yeah.
So,
That's fun.
But so, well, it was, I'm kind of pretty much out of questions, but I really enjoyed it. I just got to tell you, I really enjoyed your movie. And in fact,
thank you very much.
As soon as I saw it, I sent an email off asking if I could get an interview. And I'm really glad I did, because
I'm glad. Thank you. I haven't got to see it with an audience, so it's nice.
You haven't? Oh, that's right.
I'm just curious. Like, I'm getting a kick out of the interviews, I think, more than anybody, just because it's interesting for me to hear what people thought about the movie.
I'm a pretty average guy. I mean, I've been reviewing movies for 30 years, but I've always reviewed movies from the average person's point of view. I write like to the eighth grade
level
and all that. I try not to get too you know, intellectual about it. It's a movie, you know? So I really try to be your basic person. And I think the basic human being out there, it will love this movie.